Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shops, the Spectator's daily political podcast. I'm Lara Prendergast and I'm now joined by Jane Forsyth and Katie Balls. This week, Andrew Neil's going to be interviewing all of the key party leaders, and tonight it was Theresa May's turn. So James, what did you make of it?
I mean, that was the most difficult interview that Theresa May has faced in a long time, TV broadcast interview, and it showed. You know, she was flannelling at points, she was visibly uncomfortable. Her line that nothing had changed in the principles behind the social care policy was very hard to sustain because it simply isn't right. You know, there is now a cap and there wasn't going to be a cap before. I thought she was also uncomfortable on the question of where this extra £8 billion for the NHS is coming from and how no deal can be better than a bad deal if the consequences of no deal are dire. And I think, you know, this undoubtedly compounded what has been the worst day of the election campaign so far for Theresa May. But the thing you always have to remember in all this is that there is Jeremy Corbyn, you know. And you watch that interview and you watch Theresa May being forced onto the back foot repeatedly. And then you think, well, that's not good for her. And then you think, how on earth is Jeremy Corbyn going to fare on Friday?
Katie, do you think voters will be convinced by Theresa May's explanation for the U-turn?
I mean, she tried to do two things which seemed incompatible, which was suggesting that there wasn't really a U-turn and also appearing to blame the U-turn on Jeremy Corbyn. And I think most people, just for pure logic reasons, will find that hard to buy.
This isn't just a clarification. This isn't just stepping in and say, oh, no, this is included. This is something that the Tories and Jeremy Hunt, when he went out on the Thursday morning, they explicitly ruled out a cap. They're not clarifying, they're changing the policy.
Yeah, I think she'd have more luck winning voters over if she basically picked one side, probably the side that's the most honest, and explained they were changing the policy and, you know, went for that reason. And she didn't really do that in this interview. I mean, I think if she could have picked any day in the campaign to have an interview, it wouldn't have been today. It's very bad timing for her. And she did look uncomfortable.
And James, how much will voters actually care about the U-turn?
There's no doubt that we in the Westminster Village care more about U-turns than the general public do. They often think it's just politicians being sensible and listening to criticism. But I think this U-turn is problematic for her for two reasons. First of all, her whole pitch is that she is competent, she offers strong and stable leadership, and the U-turn does slightly cut against that. And the second thing I think is that this social care policy in its original incarnation was totemic of the way she was trying to change the Tory party in terms of getting a mandate. She was trying to say, look, we're not going to be the party that is so deferential to property wealth, that is so deferential to the idea of inheritance going down through the generations. You know, we want to be more preoccupied with the just about managing than the better off. And so to ditch this policy because the Tory base don't like it does undermine her attempt to do that.
And she's still not saying where the cap will be set. Do you think voters are going to be deterred?
Yeah, I think people are going to. The obvious, if you are worried enough about this policy, as you had Tory MPs saying that they had traditional Tory voters saying, look, I can't vote for you in this election because of this policy. If you are worried enough to say that, you will want to know the level at which the cap will be set. And despite Andrew Neil repeatedly asking her for a kind of ballpark, all she would say is, we're going to consult on this. And he had the same thing on this question of who was going to lose their winter fuel allowance. You know, obviously, the poorest pensioners are going to keep it and the better off ones are going to lose it. But there's a big question about where you draw the line. And again, she wouldn't give any detail on what their thinking is on how many pensioners, you know, middle income pensioners should lose it.
And it's not clear whether she'll be able to get through the entire election campaign without giving these figures or at least some guidance, because it's something that she's going to be asked about repeatedly.
Do you think she will eventually tell us?
I think they will not want to, because if they set the cap, if they tell us the cap, they are completely boxing themselves in on the other side of the election in terms of what they are thinking.
The other topic tonight was the Brexit deal. What did you make of her comments about that?
Throughout the interview, whenever she was in a difficult spot, Theresa May would try and turn it back to, who do you want negotiating Brexit, me or Jeremy Corbyn? You know, at one point she said, look, this whole election is a question of trust. Who do you trust to get the best deal, me or Jeremy Corbyn? The Tories believe that this is their strongest suit, that people can't imagine Jeremy Corbyn standing up to Angela Merkel or Michel Barnier or Emmanuel Macron. And I think that you could see that in how she tried to get back to that. And I think one of the reasons they've U-turned on the so-called dementia tax is to try and get the conversation back to who do you want negotiating the Brexit deal. But I thought she was in a bit of difficulty over this question about why no deal is better than a bad deal if no deal has dire consequences. I thought that, you know, there's a logical inconsistency there that Andrew Neil exposed quite clearly.
Katie, she kept on mentioning this idea of Jeremy Corbyn sneaking into number 10. How damaging do you think Well, certainly, how damaging do you think this interview was, and how damaging do you think Jeremy Corbyn's is going to be on Friday?
I think it's what we need to remember when looking at this interview. It definitely wasn't Theresa May's best interview. In fact, it was probably one of her worst interviews. But the thing is, we've got every leader facing Andrew Neil as the week goes on. And as much glee as there probably was at Labour HQ when they watched this happen, there probably was a delayed bit of fear when they realised this is all going to happen to Jeremy Corbyn come Friday and he's going to have the same treatment. So while Theresa May didn't come out with this, you know, on the best light, she's out of the way now. It's the turn of every other leader now to face this kind of questioning, and there's every reason to think that they'll come off worse.
And the key point, as Katie said, is she can only beat the opposition put in front of her. And the opposition put in front of her, in terms of Jeremy Corbyn, is a uniquely weak electoral proposition. You know, I thought there's an odd thing, I think, as a political journalist covering this campaign, which is lots of things that would normally matter don't. So you saw this unprecedented thing of a party U-turning on their manifesto just 4 days after it had been unveiled. And you're beginning to get very excited about that. And then the next breaking news thing you see is Jeremy Corbyn refuses to unequivocally condemn the IRA. And you think, oh, OK, that's why actually she can get away with this kind of thing, because there isn't a competent opposition to take her to task for things like this. And I think this is one of the very odd features of this election, which is, you know, the Tory campaign has not been faultless or brilliant yet. I don't think it's ultimately going to matter, because I think when the country come to it, they can't see Jeremy Corbyn as Prime Minister, and they can't see him, as Theresa May keeps asking them to do, negotiating Brexit. And there is a reason that she keeps coming back to this point. Who do you want, me or Jeremy Corbyn? Because that is the Tories' strongest card.
Thank you, James. Thank you, Katie. And just a reminder that you can subscribe to this podcast on the iTunes store. It's called Coffee House Shots. Just a reminder that we've got a special subscription offer to The Spectator. If you get 12 issues for just £12, which includes full access to all of our website and apps, it now also comes with a moleskin notebook worth £20. To get this, just go to spectator.co.uk/podoffer.